Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. I want to welcome you to our program as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. And we want to thank each and every one of you for joining us on the program today. And I want to wish each and every one of you a happy new year. I pray that the year 2015 would be a blessed and prosperous new year for you and your family. And so again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to our broadcast as we come to you every single Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I know that many of you listen all across the United States, and we want to encourage you every single week to invite a friend and tune in as I take a current, up-to-date news story and give it my prophetic perspective from a biblical standpoint. You know, folks, here at Today in Bible Prophecy Radio, we don't give you drama. We don't give you sensationalism. We just give you the plain sense, literal teaching of the Word of God. And, folks, that's all we want to do. And, you know, I was just listening to Jimmy DeYoung's program, Prophecy Today, and he was interviewing David James. Now, many of you remember that I've had David James on our show earlier this year. And they were talking about the prophetic paradigm. And, folks, that just simply means that there are prophecy teachers out there that are just simply going wild. And I mean, when I say wild, I mean they are hallucinating, using their wild imagination to dramatize and sensationalize Bible prophecy. And many Christians get so duped into this stuff. I mean, they really, really, folks, they go overboard with this stuff. And it sells a lot of books, and it puts a feather in your cap. But that is a shame. And Bible prophecy is just a very sorely abused subject in the church today. And folks, for many of you who have been listening to our shows for quite a few years now, you know that that's not what you get here on this program. You get the plain sense teaching of the inspired and errant prophetic authoritative word of the living God. No drama, no sensationalism. And folks, something tells me that with the year 2015, it's going to get worse. Not only is it going to get worse in the world in terms of the perilous times that Paul the Apostle spoke about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, but it's also going to get worse with these prophecy teachers gone wild. Some of them don't even know prophecy, yet try to attempt to teach the subject, and just get so messed up doctrinally. People like Hank Henegraaff, you know, he may have it right on salvation. A man, folks, when it comes to his eschatology, it's horrendous. It's heretical. And I'm not looking to attack anybody or attack anybody personally. But, folks, we attack false prophets, prophecy, false doctrine, false prophets. And so we here at Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries, we are just dedicated to teaching and preaching the prophetic word of God. That's all we want to do. Well, tomorrow I have a day off. I'm not preaching at any church. And so we will be at our home church tomorrow morning at the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple in Johnston, Rhode Island. That is my home church. That is my supporting church. And our pastor is Dr. Jeff Ansbach, man of God, great Bible teacher and preacher. So I'm just looking forward to just sitting back after preaching this whole entire year and just a number of just churches all over the country. Excuse me. And, you know, teaching, preaching. Now I get to sit back tomorrow morning and let someone preach to me for a change. Now, I could have preached in Pennsylvania tomorrow, but we decided not to. But on January the 11th, I will be preaching at Faith Chapel Independent Baptist Church in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. I will be preaching there for Sunday school, Sunday morning, and the Sunday evening service. This will begin our 3-month road tour, teaching at churches on Bible prophecy. So I hope that you plan to join us at any one of these churches. Look at my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org, and look at my calendar, and folks, see if I'm going to be at a church near you. Now, our Bible prophecy tour to Israel is next month. And folks, we still have seats available. I really want to encourage you to please join us on this Bible prophecy tour of a lifetime. If you would like me to send you a brochure, either through the mail or snail mail, contact me at 774-888-8025. That is my direct line. If you have any questions about the tour, you can join us for either the 9-day Israel only or the 11-day Israel and Petra. So please join us. We'd love to have you come as I will teach Bible prophecy on location. If you are ready to go, you can call our tour operator, Christian Tours to Israel. Ask for our tour agent, Eyal Evans. Call him toll free, 1-888-300-3038, 1-888-300-3038. Let Eyal know that you would like to join us on the Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel, February 25th to either March 5th for the 9-day tour or March the 11th, the 11-day tour. And folks, you'll never read your Bible the same way again. If you want to receive our Bible prophecy newsletters, again, go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Click on the email sign up, type in your email address, and you'll start receiving our Bible prophecy newsletters coming to you every single week. And I believe that they will be a blessing to you. Folks, we are in the new year, 2015, and already things are heating up. And, of course, the Palestinian Authority continues its rhetoric in attacking not only the biblical narrative concerning the heritage of our Lord Jesus Christ, the folks attacking Christianity in general. I want to talk about a news story that just recently came out as the Palestinian Authority proclaims that Jesus is the Palestinian Messiah and martyr. Jesus, the Palestinian Messiah and martyr. And I really couldn't believe it when I read this news story. So now I'm going to give you my prophetic perspective on this news story. A Palestinian Authority official, as well as PA President Mahmoud Abbas, who is also known as Abu Mazen, proclaimed that Jesus is the Palestinian Messiah and Muslim martyr. Excuse me. The Palestinian Authority continues to rewrite history of the Christmas story, as well as the biblical narrative of Genesis 22. In that story, we read of Abraham taking Isaac to Mount Moriah for sacrifice. Yet the Palestinian Authority narrative says that it wasn't Isaac, but Ishmael. The PA says that Moses, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the prophets of the Bible were Muslims. Even the New Testament apostles were all Muslim. But they say Jesus himself was not only a great prophet, but an observant Muslim who was martyred when he died at the hands of the Jews. Now, of course, they denied the crucifixion. Yeah, he went on the cross, and he suffered on the cross, but he never died on the cross. He was taken down, and someone else took his place. Abbas told a PA newspaper that the PA celebrates the birth of Jesus, who was a Palestinian messenger that brought love and peace and justice. Palestinian Media Watch in Jerusalem monitors the actions of the media within the Palestinian Authority. They translate and reported this story. Now, the Israeli Foreign Ministry rebuffed Abbas's comments about Jesus being the Palestinian Messiah, and somewhat quoted Jesus by saying about Abbas, "Forgive him, for he knows not what he does." I mean, folks, that came, excuse me, right from the Israeli Foreign Ministry. Rebuffed Abbas by quoting Jesus a little bit out of context and said about Abbas, "Forgive him, for he knows not what he does." He probably should have said, "Forgive him, for he knows not what he says." Both Jews and Christians believe Jesus was Jewish and that his residence was in Judea. Folks, that's where we get the word Jew from. A Jew is someone from Judea. The PA and Abbas, always accuse the Jews of, quote unquote, Judaizing Jerusalem. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said it best. He said, "That's like," and I'm going to quote him, "that's like accusing the Americans of Americanizing Washington, or the British of Anglicizing London. Do you know why they call us Jews? Because we're from Judea," end quote. I mean, wow, folks. Are you going to love that? Abbas, as well as a Palestinian Authority Sharia religious judge, said one day Israel will disappear, and said Jesus was a Muslim. This Palestinian Authority judge said this, and I quote, "Christmas is also a Palestinian holiday because Jesus, peace be upon him, was Palestinian. He was born in Palestine, lived, and was sent as a prophet to Palestine. Therefore, Christmas has a special Palestinian flavor. Folks, how sick is that? Palestinian Authority is good at propaganda, and they are revisionists. They deny the biblical accounts as well as the crucifixion. They deny that Jesus is the Son of God, claim the Bible is corrupt and replaced by the Quran. Even the Palestinian Authority District Governor of Ramallah said this, and I quote, "We are standing here, Muslims and Christians, in Yasser Arafat Square for Christmas. So we too will stand." Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat today, folks. Forgive me. "So too we will stand united to celebrate victory, far off as it may be. Merry Christmas. Let's celebrate and be merry. Jesus the Messiah is Palestinian, and we are Palestinians, and will continue to hold our heads high." Man. Even the official spokesperson for the Palestinian Authority Security Forces said this on his Facebook page, and I quote, "The anniversary of love and peace, the birthday of Jesus, Palestinian Authority Chief Negotiator Saeed Erekat, a member of the Abbas's Fatah Central Committee, referenced the quote-unquote, the first martyr, the first Palestinian Jesus." The first Palestinian Jesus. Can you imagine that? Even Fatah's Central Committee on Facebook wished united Palestinian people a new Christmas that will herald liberty, as did Jesus, the first Palestinian, end quote. Folks, Palestinian Authority, exploitation of Christianity as propaganda for its campaign against Israel reached new heights during the visit of Mr. Pope Francis last May, when the organization showed the Pope exhibit presenting Jesus as a suffering Palestinian martyr. This was right at the security barrier, that security wall there. We see that wall all the time when we're in Bethlehem, when we visit the Christian store of a friend of mine out there in Bethlehem. Folks, in Genesis 49:10, it says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes." Now, we know the rabbis, the rabbis believe the Messiah would come from Judah. He would be royalty. Shiloh would be another name for the Hebrew Mashiach, or the Messiah. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, before Jesus was born, Isaiah prophesied of the virgin birth, that the Messiah would be called Emmanuel. Now, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, Emmanuel means God with us. Folks, Jesus is God in the flesh. The Muslims will never accept that. The Jewish prophet Micah, also 700 years before his birth, said that Jesus was born of Bethlehem of Judea, in Bethlehem of Judea. Judea, J-E-W-D-E-A, Judea, or of course spelled G-U-D-E-A, Judea. Jesus was a Jew from Judea. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He was a Jew born in Judea. And again, as Benjamin Netanyahu said, that's why they call us Jews. The writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 7:14 that our Lord sprang from the tribe of Judah. According to Bible prophecy, One day Jesus will reign as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's Revelation 5:5. The Samaritan woman recognized Jesus as a Jew in John chapter 4, verse 9. In John 4, 9, she was taken back because here you have Jesus as a Jew conversing with a Samaritan woman. And Jews 2,000 years ago had nothing to do with the Samaritans because they considered them half-breeds, half Jew, half Gentile. So a Jew would go way out of his way to avoid Samaria. Yet she sees Jesus and she said, how art thou being a Jew having a conversation with me, a Samaritan? Nicodemus called Jesus a rabbi. Thou art a rabbi, come from Israel, John chapter 3, verse 2. Jesus observed the Jewish holidays, Passover, John chapter 2, verse 13. Tabernacles, John chapter 7. Jesus taught in the Jewish temple, Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 12. Luke chapter 4, verse number 16. Jesus observed the Sabbath and taught in the synagogue, Mark chapter 6, verse 2. Jesus celebrated Hanukkah, John chapter 10, verse 22, the Feast of the Dedication. Jesus was 12 years old as he went to the temple on Passover, Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 42. Folks, he was indeed Jewish. When Jesus returns, he will reign as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Revelation 19, 13, it says, Jesus is clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Folks, that vesture would be the Jewish prayer shawl, as they call it in Hebrew, the talit. Jews have worn this for nearly 3,500 years. And folks, that comes right out of Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 through 40. Jesus, as a Jew, wore the talit, the prayer shawl. And he's donning one of those when he returns back to this earth at his second coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. That vesture, the talit, the prayer shawl. In Matthew chapter 9, and verse number 20, it says, a woman with a disease touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Folks, that would be the prayer shawl, the talit. As I said, he will don one at his second coming back to earth. Revelation 19, verse 13 says, he was clothed with a vesture, the talit, the prayer shawl. And that vesture is dipped in the blood of his enemies. And his name is called the Word of God, the same Word of God. In John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. That's denied in Islam. You'll recognize Jesus as a prophet, but that's it. Never died on the cross, never was crucified, and he certainly is not God, and they deny that God has a son. The Jewish prophet Isaiah described that talit being stained with the blood of Israel's enemies. In Isaiah chapter 63, verse 1, it says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garment, talit, prayer shawl, from Bozrah? Folks, the dyed garment are the prayer shawl, the talit that Yeshua, Jesus himself, will wear at his second coming back to this earth. This is exactly what the Jewish prophet Isaiah is talking about. In Isaiah chapter 63, verse 2, it says, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garment, again, the talit, the prayer shawl, like him that treadeth the wine sack or the wine press. In other words, Jesus will one day take all the nations of the world, symbolized by a cluster of grapes, and put them in the wine fat or the wine press. and will crush those great. Folks, there's a parallel there. We're going to look at that in a moment. But Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 3 says about Jesus that I have trodden the winepress alone. Trodden, trampled them. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, the prayer shawl, the tallit. And I will stain all my raiment. The stomping of the winepress by Jesus in Isaiah is parallel, folks, to Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 19, where it tells us that the angel takes his sickle. That sickle, by the way, is symbolic of judgment and cuts the cluster of grapes down. Again, as I said, the cluster of grapes is symbolic for the nations of the world and throws them into the winepress of God's wrath. The sickle is symbolic for judgment and the winepress is symbolic for the wrath of God. See, folks, that's the key to studying the book of Revelation. Even though Revelation uses symbols, you must look for a literal interpretation behind the symbolism. Christians today, especially these wild prophecy teachers, are not doing that. They take the symbolism and they interpret it with their own symbolism. That's why we get all this false doctrine today. Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 20 is parallel to Isaiah chapter 63. Revelation 14:20 says, Jesus will trample or stomp the winepress outside the city, that would be the city of Jerusalem, with blood flowing from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle. Now, we looked this up online. The horse's bridles, that's about 4 to 6 feet from the ground. That's a lot of blood, folks. And it will flow, according to the King James, for 1,600 furlongs. The Greek word is stadia. 1,600 furlongs, folks, is exactly 176 miles. From Megiddo in northern Israel, in the Jezreel Valley, where Armageddon is today, to the south in Petra, is exactly 176 miles. Well, that's not a coincidence. That's a God incidence. That's Bible prophecy right there. That's accurate prophecy. Can't find that in the Quran. Can't find that in the Book of Mormon. Can't find that in the Hindu verses. Can't find that in any other religious text out there today, except the Word of God, the Bible itself. Isaiah says, who is this that cometh from Edom? As a matter of fact, when you look at Isaiah chapter number 63, as I said, folks, it is parallel with Revelation chapter number 14. He says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I will tread, verse 6 says, and I will tread down the people of my anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Wow. Folks, that's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Isaiah says, who is this that cometh from Edom? Petra is located in ancient Edom. That's where God will shelter the Jewish people for the last 42 months of the tribulation. Folks, we get this from Isaiah chapter 16, verses 1 and 4, Isaiah 26, 20, Isaiah 63, verses 1 through 6, what we just read right now, Revelation 12, 6, and Revelation 12, 14. God will shelter the Jewish people today in the impregnable city, one of the seven wonders of the world, the rose-colored city of Petra. That's where Esau and his descendants, the Edomites, once dwelt. And today you see that five-story high treasury there at Petra. They have an ancient stadium that would seat over 7,000 people still standing today, the ruins of it. And it will be there that God will shelter the Jewish people. It's made of sandstone, and when the sun hits the sandstone, it reflects the colors of the rainbow. It's beautiful. And we're going to be in Petra. And I'm going to be teaching Bible prophecy right there in that location in Petra. And we hope you join us on this tour to Israel, because that will be my first time there in Petra as well. All the beautiful carvings that you see there in Petra were not done by the Edomites. They were done by the Nabataeans of Arabia, Saudi Arabia. But that's where God will shelter the Jewish people for the last 42 months of the tribulation period. When Jesus returns at his second coming, he will go to Edom or Petra. Bozrah was also the capital of Petra, to gather the remnant of the Jews, to bring them back to Jerusalem from the east. The blood will flow from Megiddo to Petra. Folks, again, according to Revelation 14:20, 1,600 furlongs, that is 176 miles, 176 miles from Megiddo all the way to Petra. Wow. Amazing. And the blood will flow for 176 miles from Megiddo to Petra. You say that would be impossible for all that blood to be that high. Unheard of. Well, you know, according to the United Nations, there are 192 nations in the world today. Let's say, for the sake of argument, 100 nations invade the Jezreel Valley. Revelation 16:16 says they gather in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, or in Hebrew, Har Megiddo, the mountain of Megiddo. That's where Armageddon is today. The Jezreel Valley, the Valley of Adrelon. Let's say 100 of those nations produce 1 million soldiers apiece. 100 million soldiers. The Bible says the blood flows as high as the horse's bridle. Let's say between 4 and 5, 6 deep. That blood would easily flow for 176 miles. 50 quarts per foot for 176 miles. Folks, 100 million soldiers can produce that much blood. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I take that, by the way, to be literal. That's how bloody this war will be. It will be a massacre. And all Jesus has to do is speak, and the enemies of Israel drop dead. Revelation 19:15 says, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress. That's right out of Isaiah 63. The winepress and the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Folks, Jesus is Jewish. He was born a Jew. He lived as a Jew. He observed the Jewish feast. He taught in the synagogue on the Shabbat, the Sabbath. The world tries to paint Jesus to represent their culture. what they fail to realize is that Jesus is Jewish. The reason the world, and especially the church, have divorced itself from its Jewish roots and Jesus, Jewish heritage, is because of biblical ignorance and bad theology. Bad theology. Biblical ignorance and bad theology. Because biblical ignorance in the world and bad theology, we see it with Hollywood movies about the Bible, and even this latest one with the History Channel, Revelation, End of Days, was absolutely horrendous. Biblical ignorance in the world, bad theology in the world, but also biblical ignorance and bad theology in the church. The reason why we have anti-Semitism today is because of bad theology that came from the Reformation. Now, don't get me wrong. There was some good that came out of the Reformation, but also some bad as well. Bad theology. When it came with dealing with the Jews, and Martin Luther was a serious anti-Semite. Adolf Hitler memorialized Martin Luther, even quoted Martin Luther, read Martin Luther's books. It was Martin Luther's anti-Semitism and theology that prompted Hitler to carry out the final solution when he murdered 6 million Jews. Bad theology when it came with dealing with the Jewish people out of the Reformation. Replacement theology came out of the Reformation. Luther had it right on salvation, but folks, he flunked eschatology when it came to the Jews. Palestinian Authority continues its rhetoric and unbiblical propaganda in revising history as well as the biblical narrative. And folks, all this points to an alignment of nations that will one day seek the final solution in wiping the Jews off the earth. And we see that the stage for that is taking place right now. Actually, we see four major trends. We see Aliyah. Jewish people are still making Aliyah. Aliyah means to go up to Jerusalem. Jews from all over the world are making Aliyah back to Israel. That's Zephaniah 3:9. That's Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel 37. Jews coming back from the four corners of the earth. That's been happening since 1897, and that prophecy is still being fulfilled today. We see an alignment of the nations, nations who will one day align themselves to come up against the Jewish people in an attempt to wipe them out. We see that happening right now. You're getting set. Israel stands alone in the world. I mean, I know America is a strong supporter of Israel, stands by Israel. How long that's going to be? Don't know, folks, but it's not going to last long if I understand prophecy correctly. So we see the Aliyah, an alignment of the nations. We also see preparations for peace. The state of Israel wants peace with its Arab neighbors, wants peace with the nations of the world. But a pseudo-peace, a false peace, will come out of that according to Daniel 9:27, when the Antichrist confirms a 7-year peace treaty with Israel. And then, of course, the preparations for rebuilding the third Jewish temple. Folks, we see that underway right now as I speak. According to the Temple Institute, they can have a Jewish temple up and running within 6 months. We know in the future, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, will defend Israel and destroy the enemy of the Jews, staining his raiment with the blood of all the Jews' enemies. And folks, we know Bible prophecy is on course to being fulfilled, and the rapture could happen at any moment. And I pray, folks, that it would be in 2015. Maranatha, come soon, Lord Jesus. Folks, as I bring this broadcast to an end, If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm here to tell you that today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow could be too late. If you're not saved, I've got bad news for you. You're either one heartbeat away from going to hell, or you're one trumpet sound away from being left behind. Left behind at the rapture to go through a terrible 7-year period called the tribulation. I wouldn't want my worst enemy to be left behind. If you're not saved, pray something like this. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, shed his blood for me. I repent of my sins today. I turn from my sin. I turn from my wickedness. I turn from my evil way. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, come into my life, forgive me of all my sins. I now receive you as my personal Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, and I want to be ready for your soon return. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. If you pray that prayer, I want to hear from you. Send me an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. I want to rejoice with you and send you some material and direct you to a good local Bible-believing gospel-preaching church in your area, so that you can grow in the grace of God and closer to the Lord Jesus. Folks, don't forget our Israel Prophecy Tour with an option to Petra, February 25th to March 5th or March the 11th. March 5th or March the 7th. We want you to join us on this Bible Prophecy Tour of a Lifetime. If you want more information, call me directly, 774-888-8025, or go to the website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Click on the link. It will take you right to the Christian Tours to Israel website. If you would like to go, contact our friend Eyal Evan, E-Y-A-L, Eyal Evan, E-V-A-N, Eyal Evan. Call him toll-free, 1-888-300-3038. Let him know you want to join me, August Rosado, on the Bible Prophecy Tour with an option to Petra. Sign up for our newsletters. Again, go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Type in your email address, and you will start receiving our Bible Prophecy newsletters. And folks, we are looking for prophecy partners to support us at $20 a month. If you can support us at $20, we want to send you a CD of my messages every single month, as well as a Holy Land gift. Something different every single month. And I know that that will be a blessing to you. If you have any questions for next week's program, send them to my email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com, and I promise we'll read them over the air. Folks, again, I want to thank you for joining us on the program today. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Come soon, Lord Jesus, maybe 2015.